Hi, I'm Erin Marcus, former corporate executive turned entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Conquer Your Business. Welcome to the Ready Yet podcast. We're excited to bring you more than 100 episodes of interviews and insights designed to help entrepreneurs get the financial and emotional freedom they need in order to build a business and a life they're proud of. All right. Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Ready Yet podcast, where my guest today, Anne Laffin, and I have been talking about all things marketing, all the things we learned in corporate that are helping us, all the things we learned in corporate that are killing us, and everything in between. Before we dive into all that and help some people, you know, let's shorten their learning curve. How about a formal introduction and who you are and what you do?
Sure, sounds good. Well, first, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. Well, so I've been working in marketing for 20 plus years at this point, which went real fast, going to be honest. Started in market research. Yeah, it goes so fast. Which market research is great because I feel like it does give you a good background and kind of why people think and buy and behave, which just helps you out with marketing in general. So started there. Then made the leap over to financial services and did marketing in financial services for quite a while, which was quite a change, but a nice one. Gave me a good base for how the rest of the world works and operates. Have done a flip-flop between financial services and market research for quite a bit, and then landed at a fintech startup. And it was there that I realized I love the startup environment. I love the startup world, and decided to make my own company, start my own company in the middle of the pandemic.
Sure.
Why not? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, there's nothing else going on. So starting a business sounded great. And now I am a marketing consultant for early stage companies. So that's what I do.
Love it. Love it. Love it. I know my answer. What is it that you love about the early stage businesses?
Two things. One is this idea, the vision that the founder brings, that this idea, it sounds hokey. I realize the words I'm going to say are going to sound hokey, but it's this idea of like dream, a little bit of magic, fairy dust of like bringing something to life. That's really fun and exciting. Which with the next piece of it, which is the fast paced environment, the high highs, the low lows, the quick wins, all that is really, really fun and appealing. I love it.
And I think you have to have that at least partially. If you can take resilience and turn it into something you actually enjoy, you're ahead of the game. It's that resilience or lack thereof that just, that's a make or break.
You have got to be able to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going. Because, I mean, man, there are some days that are not easy. There's a lot of days that are not easy and that you're tired and confused. And part of this is me speaking as a business owner, but it's also me watching founders work where I can see the exhaustion on their face some days, but they really believe in what they're doing and they keep going. So
it's so true. One of the things, and it often has to do around marketing, interesting enough. I find myself saying, because I talk to a good 10, 20 business owners a week and they tell me what they have going on and we're talking about how they can improve their business. And one of the things that I give them the disclaimer that I'm very direct, like put your safety bubble on. We're very direct. Too many times, small business owners, especially when they're newer and they're just like, oh, I did this and it didn't work. And I did this and it didn't work. And I did this and it didn't work. And what I will say to them is, well, did you try or did you just start? And most of the time, they really just started.
Yep. I agree. And there was no plan. You know, like, we didn't measure anything. There wasn't, I was just kind of, literally just started.
Right. I call it random acts of marketing.
Yes. 100%.
Just go out into the world and do random acts of marketing.
Yep. So great. Spaghetti marketing, where you're just throwing it at the wall. You know, like, it's not super effective. Yeah.
So I have to tell you, because it just makes me laugh. I grew up in Chicago and we have this amazing, amazing Museum of Science and Industry here. And big, I mean, been going there my whole life. And when you say market research, my immediate emotion is nostalgia,
Oh.
because there was this area at the museum and it was right next to the baby chick display. And I know as an adult, these things didn't go together. It was just a coincidence. But in my child, emotional memory, it went together. But there was a baby chick display with the incubator and the eggs. And next to it was a market research thing. And even as kids, if you were there at the right time, they would bring you into the room and do market research with you. So my childhood emotion is got market research attached to
Baby
baby
chicks.
chicks,
Love it. That is
right?
amazing.
So I
So
have a
there.
very nostalgic feeling when anybody says market research. So because I know that's not what that means, what do you take from that experience? Like, first of all, give us your definition of market research. And then, how does a small business owner, a new business owner, what can they learn from those entities that, like, one of the things I say is we do our research in the marketplace, and there's a beauty to it, but there's also a horror story to it. Like, what did you learn from your market research days besides baby chicks?
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't, there weren't a whole lot of baby
You
chicks
know,
where I was,
I
but you
can
know, that
tell
would
you
have been
where
amazing. I would have loved it. I mean, broad answer, right? Market research, I think, is determining behavior, preference, getting data on something consumer related. So a little more detail on that, right? It could be the wording in an ad you see on TV or in a magazine. It could be the way a package looks, right? Your shampoo or your soap. It could be how aware people are of a brand. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do read. That's kind of formal research. But for something like a small business or a startup, market research could simply be calling or emailing your current customers and
I know
asking
people
them,
do. Is that like, I have so many people go, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And I'm like, well, have you asked anybody? And they look at me like this is the most shocking and obvious answer I could have given them.
I don't know why that's still new news. Maybe because it's scary to actually get the answer. I don't know what the actual resistance is there.
I think there is some truth to that, because I think so many small business owners have a vision and they're so in love with their vision that the last thing they want to hear is that nobody wants to buy their vision.
Yes. And there you go. That's why so many startups fail, is because there actually wasn't a need to begin with for the thing that they want to make. And it goes back to the idea of the magic, the fairy dust. Well, listen, if there's nothing to support the magic and fairy dust, it just goes away and it's not magical and nobody cares. So even if you reach out to your consumers or your friends or someone you think might be a consumer to ask them, would you use this? How would you use it? Why would you not use it? Like, get some of that basic information. You can then pivot, be flexible, see if you can make something out of what you have. It's key to know, right? Otherwise, those assumptions can really
I tell
come
us
back to hurt you.
we all have good gut instincts, but our feelings will lie to us. But the beauty of the small business and the startup is that ability for the very, very quick flexibility.
Yes, 100%. It really, you can and you have to be flexible. I mean, that is 100% part of the skill set there. You know, larger companies, you and I were talking, things, the pace is much slower. There's so many levels of approvals and things that have to happen for projects to move forward. That really isn't the case in a startup or a small business. Maybe it's a handful of people. Everybody could come to consensus in potentially 10 minutes in the room that you're all working in. And then you move forward. So it's different.
So how do you advise people? Because the other flip side of this, one of the things that I talk a lot about is let's put bumpers in the gutters, right? So we don't fall off the cliff on either end. So we need market research so that we vet our offer in some way. But the flip side of that is I watch people giving up too soon and throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? Humans think very much with all or nothing, especially when it comes to marketing. I met a great guy who's good at what he does and I love his energy. And I was with him in Salt Lake City last week, but he mentioned three different tactics, two or three different tactics that he tried that didn't work. And so he stopped. And I love, like, my whole thing is measure and tweak, measure and tweak. Marketing is testing. That's all it is. So how do you help somebody not fall off the all or nothing cliff?
Yeah. I think I lean heavily on having some kind of plan. I remember when I first started, I would make these large-ish marketing plans, right? For at least 6 months. And I quickly realized like that's just not going to work in a startup. They may not be there in 6 months.
Oh, God only knows
Yeah,
what.
got yep.
It's
So
like so fast and forever at the same time. It's just
yep.
crazy.
But that doesn't mean that you can't like doesn't mean you should not have a plan at all.
I agree.
So at least if you're planning out, if in this example, we have, you know, three different tactics or that he used. Well, did we have an objective? Did we know who we were trying to reach? You know, like what did we measure? And then to your point, really, like, was it truly a failure? Is it worth going back and testing? Like, how long did we let it run? There are questions you need to ask
I agree.
to really determine, like, was this truly a bust or did we just not give it enough time? You know, like 1 week, you can't be like, well, this didn't work. I didn't get any leads in 1 week. Well, of course you didn't. All right.
Right.
But
No,
so, yeah.
you're exactly right. And I think this is one of the, I think it's a challenge for small business owners who are bootstrapping it. They're, I don't want to say desperate in a bad way, but like their life depends on almost every sale. And if things don't happen fast, they don't happen at all.
I get a sense sometimes too, like there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in that. And when people are, you know, like it's their life savings poured into the business, they panic. And like I can even I feel this right now. It's gonna sound hokey too. Like the tightness in my chest of like, oh my
Yes.
God, I've got to sell something. I'm so nervous. Like, we're gonna try this stuff. This didn't work. I'm gonna try this. Like it's frenetic, this panic. And so I think that's actually where a consultant, someone removed from the business, can really come in handy because they are not emotional about it. They're gonna stop that like hard stop on that frenetic energy to be like, hey, let's look at what's actually happening.
Clear role.
Yes.
Separate, as I say,
Stop.
let's separate the story from what is actually
Actually
happening.
happening.
Let's not worry about what you're making it mean. And because I just did this in my business, what can we salvage? Okay, we didn't get what we wanted. We tried this thing and we didn't get what we wanted, but what did we get? And how can we use it? And sometimes it's so much fun because I literally overnight, feels like overnight, it was probably about 30 days, dropped about 80% of what of my marketing plan. I'm like, you know what? We're doing all this work. It's not producing the results. Let's take the 20% of the plan that's working. Let's pour more energy and intention into that and just let, like, literally, could you imagine how freeing it is to give up 20% of the energy it takes to and still get the results.
Sounds amazing. It sounds really amazing. Because I think, you know, one of the disadvantages of having a small company is that you don't have resources. You don't likely have cash. You don't usually have human capital either. And so if you have too many things running at once, they're likely not being done well. It's hard to track them. And you just like, again, you just don't have the resources to make them happen well. So that idea of what can we cut? What's really not helpful? Get rid of them.
And
Oh
things get complicated all by themselves.
my God.
Like, how come, you know, you mentioned you're an avid runner. Like, how come the things we want in our lives don't happen by accident? You don't get healthy by accident, you get couch potato by accident. Like, if you don't do things with intention, you get the version of it you don't want. And marketing, I think, is one of those things. It gets very complex very quickly. Because most people, when they going back to what you're saying about the, you know, the clenchy energy around needing the sale, the instinct is seldom to do less. Like, right?
Yes.
Like,
That's a great point. It is. It's like, how many more things can we add on to the plate?
here, let me
It,
hit it
you're right.
harder.
Yeah, how can we make this harder rather than smarter? You're right. It is. And I get that. Like, to not be preachy here, it's like, I even for myself, I
Oh,
get like,
yeah.
oh well, I must do more. Like, I have to stop myself.
Well, and that's why I think it's important to surround yourself with people who can be that litmus test for you, because I got sucked. I mean, I know this. I do this for my clients. I had it happen to me, and my COO, she's much less direct than I am, very pleasantly said, "Can I just reflect back to you for a second when I'm hearing you say," which was her very nice, pleasant preface for saying, "What the hell? Right? What are you even
Yeah,
doing?
what are you doing?
What are you even doing?" So you're a couple years in now, you're a few years in now. What, let's shorten some people's learning curves. Let's say if you just don't do that, you'll be ahead of the game. What has not worked for you in your experience?
Avoidance of the things I don't like. We were kind of talking
We
about
were
this earlier. I know.
I have no problem avoiding the things I don't like. I just hire other people to do that.
So I, this is
Or
why,
I
like,
find a different way.
I'm a little bit more of like an ostrich where I kind of bury my head in the sand and like pretend it's not happening. And I found that's not, everyone that listen up, that's not the way to do things. Don't
Well,
run your business that way.
and
So,
there's so, but to your point, there's so much that does need your attention. That's not a hard place to find yourself in.
No, there's a lot of overwhelm.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of things I'm really good at. We were talking about, like, and I like doing those things. And there's a lot of things that I get overwhelmed with and I don't like doing. And when I've got to, and I want to do great work for my clients, some of the business stuff, the admin stuff gets pushed to the side. But hey, guess what? I still have to run my business. And as silly as that might sound, kind of doing this for the first time, it really has been, I've had a quite a learning curve. And I'm now at this point where I'm like, if I really want to make this work, I have to really think about this as a business, run it as a business, know my numbers, the financials, like that to me, you've got to know. And I think that's the same for startups too, because I don't think they all know.
I did my whole live show this morning on know your numbers and how do you actually use your numbers, not just track them in arrears, because who cares? But what do you do with that information?
I'm learning the hard way. I am embarrassed to say that it's not. It has been hard, but I'm learning all the same.
I think one of the things that served me well, I don't know where it came from, is the fact that I really don't have a big problem telling somebody I have no idea about X. Like, I have no hesitation around things that I'm bad at. My boyfriend teases me all the time. His thing to say to me, how would you even, if I wasn't here, how would you even be alive? Because I do zero cooking, right? Like, it's like, how did you keep yourself alive until we actually got together? And I just, for whatever reason, when I was in corporate, I'd be like, what's that acronym? What are you even talking about? Or when I got my MBA, I remember they walked us through this financial calculation and I followed and I'm like, yeah, got the answer. What are we even talking
Yeah,
about?
yeah.
And it served me well because I think there's this challenge for, and it might just be more women, and I totally could see why. You got to know everything, or you think someone's going to think you know nothing.
Do I lose my credibility?
Right.
Yep, I hear that.
That goes, if you stick with it, that goes away. One of the beauties of the beautiful things about owning what I don't know how to do and what I'm not good at is it frees me up to own what I'm really good at. So hang in there.
Thank you.
You got
I'm
it.
hanging in. I am very resilient at this
That
point,
goes right.
so.
That'll go away. You find a different way.
Yep.
But flip it. What are you most proud of? What are you like?
I think What I'm most proud of at this point is the perspective that I'm able to bring to my clients. Because I've worked in a lot of different industries with a lot of different clients at various stages. And I kind of have this overarching view that I bring to all my clients. Obviously, I'm not talking about proprietary information being shared. It's like, hey, here's where I see you're at and the challenges that I've seen. You need to get a handle on XYZ, and here's how. And that's a beautiful thing. That can be very valuable to a startup that's struggling, that doesn't know what the next step is. I've likely seen it, you
No,
know?
I love that. Like it's you knew what you knew, but now
Really
you really know
know.
what you know,
Yes.
right? You know,
Yes.
right?
Because you see these themes over and over again with, you know, when the team is this big, when the team is this big, when the, like there's just these things that keep happening. And I didn't, again, I didn't kind of know I knew that until I'm like, oh, well, I've seen this happen before. Here's what's going to happen next. And it, you know, it's similar.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what's next in your business? What do you have coming up?
Well, I have been working on diversifying my offering. And one of the things I love and have a lot of experience in is actually email marketing. And so I'm coming out with an email marketing course. It is for very early stage founders that maybe don't have any marketing support and they're doing all their email marketing themselves, or maybe have a junior marketer that's in there. So that's what I've been working on. And obviously, we're working with my clients, but
It's fun. I do find as I'm out in the entrepreneur world more and more and more, it is exciting to give back and make accessible the information in some way to the people who aren't really yet ready and are able to get their own strategist, if it were.
Totally.
Absolutely. So much fun. So if people want to continue this conversation with you so you can help them understand how to avoid the pitfalls and how to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, use what works, let go of what doesn't. What is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
They can find me at finmarketingm.com, and I would love to chat with them.
Awesome. Finmarketingm.com. Awesome. Thank you so much for your conversation today,
Thank
your
you.
time, your energy, your effort. Absolutely love it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Ready Yet podcast. I truly enjoy bringing these stories of success and inspiration to you. Please join us in our mission to empower entrepreneurs to be in charge of their businesses and in charge of their lives by sharing this with anyone you know who would benefit from our tactical and motivating advice, leaving us a review, and letting us know if there are any particular topics you would really appreciate hearing about. See you next time.